Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Here on RB. Okay.
Lori,
yes,
can do
I was
it.
Thinking
I can
again.
Do it.
Exactly. Okay. You know, Carla, I have seen those bigger water containers that you're talking about. There's a place here in Salem that rents like U-Hauls and stuff. This guy usually has one or two sitting out front all the time. I think at one time he was asking like $100 for one of them. But I'm not
the
sure
problem
anymore.
Is if I get a really big one, then I have to be able to move it around, too.
Right.
Well,
I'm talking like the big one, like Rick's got.
I can carry, when they're empty,
yeah.
I can carry them by myself. When they're empty, they don't weigh that much.
Yeah.
But you're not moving anything when it's full. That's 8 times 275. You're not moving it, period.
No. Well, you can move one of those 50-gallon ones with a two-wheeler.
What? You mean when it's full? Why
no,
you
well,
do that?
You're still talking 800
yeah.
plus pounds.
No, you can tip that back with a
two-wheeler. 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's easy.
I'm sorry.
Well,
that can be done.
No, why do you want to move it? You don't move it. You just go get water out of it.
Well,
if you
had to. I'm just saying if you had to.
Don't have to.
You know, that's
to.
All I'm saying.
Build a stand.
Okay.
Build a stand. Put it up about a foot off the ground or 2 feet, and then you can just siphon the water off. Or later on, when I'm not in the middle of my sermon like I am right now, we can discuss how to chain two or three together. It's not a difficult thing.
Okay.
No,
well,
not at all.
You
can
either
call or
a,
text
a
me when it's a good time to talk to you about it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. After
okay.
I'll show
how's
you.
How's that
I'll
work?
I'll send you a picture one. Good. I'll send you a picture one. We have daisy chain. And you can also, if you're going to daisy chain one, you can always put like a 5 gallon bucket at the end. And then the 5 gallon bucket would stay full. If you want to move 5 gallons, there it is. You could just move to five.
Correct. Yeah. That's a great idea. Yeah. I just, I'm curious how to, yeah, I just need to know how to keep it clean as it comes off the gutter, and, you know, I understand how to purify it. Yeah.
Well, you're not.
Okay, all right, well, I'll talk to you about it at a better time.
Okay.
All right, thanks, I love you. All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Carla.
I will beat you like a redheaded stepchild. yeah,
be nice.
We will talk about that later. It's not a difficult thing. They make like 5 gallon paint strainers, which when you know if you're gonna spray paint, you run your paint through. It's a mesh bag. You run it through a fine mesh bag. I put those on the end of the gutter. You get mixed results because after you get enough stuff in the bag, it slows or stops your progress with the water, so you're almost better off to strain the water off as you use it. Anyway, so with regard to committing the same, making the same mistake repeatedly, and depending on how serious that mistake is, you could call it a venial sin if you're one of those people who is, for some reason, addicted to child porn. We could call that a mortal sin. That this is something that is very serious. But if that's your weakness, then that is your weakness. What can happen, it can be anything from drinking one too many beers, eating one too many bowls of ice cream, anything. It could be just any tendency that you have that isn't necessarily in yours and the Lord's best interest. But when you have to constantly struggle with that, and we all do, everybody I know, including my priest, although he's never confessed to me what his situation is, has an issue, or two, or three. And it is in wrestling with yourself and fighting with yourself that you become strong. There is a classic, it was a strip cartoon, and it was a series of pictures, and we call this process carrying your cross. In other words, this process of fighting with yourself, this process of tiring, this self-purification that you're going through is what we call carrying your cross. This is why you don't necessarily want to wish it away. There is a strip cartoon of two guys carrying a cross, and one guy keeps complaining that the thing is too heavy, too cumbersome, too inconvenient. So they walk so far, and he takes out a cart for his son, he cuts a foot off, and they walk some other distance, and it's still too heavy. He takes out a saw, and he cuts off another foot. And eventually he keeps this up till his cross is bearable. They get to a chasm they have to cross. The one guy takes his cross, and he drops it across this chasm, and he walks across. The other fellow's cross is too damn short to do him any good, and he's stuck. Now, of course, you say, well, why doesn't he walk on the other guy's cross? Well, trust me, that doesn't work like that. If you're correcting yourself, you're not correcting two people. You're only correcting the weaknesses that you have. But I bring this up, with respect to the loggers and with respect to getting crestfallen or depressed or sad or disappointed over having the same weakness day in and day out. Don't worry about that. It's part of the process. It's normal. And as annoying as it is, I'm 70. Don't think I don't know what annoying looks like. I am annoying. There's nothing worse than getting up in the morning and still being wrecked. It is something I would wish on nobody. But at the same time, I understand it's a process I go through. If I'm ever going to get clean enough to look at God, I got to do this. I have noticed, and I find this mesmerizing, that with this...
Hey Rick, before we go to the next subject, we do have an online but off-air request for information. And this comes from Todd. How do you store long-term food for your laying hens or meat birds? What are your food sources if the supply chain stops? Perhaps talk about keeping the chickens fed and healthy during difficult times. That's a good question.
It is a good question. I've actually had to ponder that. Let me finish up this subject real quick, and we'll do that.
Oh, I thought you were, buddy. I'm sorry.
No,
I thought we were switching subjects. My apologies.
Not yet. No, I have noticed. Oh, I see where. Yeah, I see why you would think that. I've noticed that the young people are disproportionately terrified by this fake health crisis, and I look at that. Why do they think the way they think? In other words, well, they're not thinking, they're feeling. Why do they feel the way they do? Do they just need to have one more Starbucks latte? Do they need to put out one more tweet? What is bugging them? Do they need one more follower? Or as an older guy that I knew that was dying of cancer said, I just want to skin one more rabbit. or was it a possum? But that, of course, was a joke. But what they're missing something. There's something lacking there, which is causing them to be very fearful. And I think, this is my personal opinion, that they have, as far as they're concerned, they have not had a chance to live yet. And by that I mean they have not stopped farting around long enough to address their vocation. They don't know. Nobody told them why they were born. Nobody told them why they're on Earth or what they're supposed to be doing. They don't know. And it's sad because basically they're in neutral. They got their foot on the gas. They're in neutral. They're going nowhere. And they're not going to go nowhere until they figure out why they're here. You know, they're here to address their issues. They're here to do what it is Jesus said, keep your eye on your neighbor and try to follow my commandments. And don't be afraid. And if you do that, you know, you'll discover why you're here. And then you won't be so damn afraid all the time. So your children might have grown up and left, but your grandchildren probably didn't. You know, for God's sake, set them aside. If your parents won't, if your kids, if you didn't do it with your kids, they're not going to do it with theirs because you didn't do it with yours. Take them aside and say, look, God made you for a reason. And he's always got his eye on you. You're precious to him. You're here to try to be his good and faithful servant. You know, look at the Sermon on the Mount. Do the simple things there and see if you can land on your feet at the time of your death. And that way they won't walk around in terror, confused all the time, chasing one bad habit after another, trying to figure out if materialism is what's going to scratch their itch, or if it's alcohol, porn, drugs, tweeting, followers, technology, whatever excuse, this is idolatry, not statues in your church, this is idolatry, and if they can get past that, they stand a real good chance of being happy, healthy people. Now, what about those doggone hungry chickens? What about them?
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to store up grain, which I suggest, or chicken food, that's the easiest thing to do, is you're going to use diatomaceous earth. You're going to sprinkle it all over that stuff, shake it up real good, mix it up, and that way, because there will be nits and weevils in there that want to get going, and if you keep it long enough, especially things like cracked corn and other things, that stuff will turn to moth food in no time. Sprinkle.
You ain't kidding. Even if the barrel was sealed.
Yeah, they'll do it. Copious oxygen absorbers. Even a 55-gallon drum will do it. It will hold the oxygen if there's no leak. Hold the oxygen to 1.5%. They will. The minute they're born, they'll just suffocate and die. Diatomaceous earth is good for the chickens. You're going to check to see how much to put on. Don't put on too much, don't put on too little. Diatomaceous earth. The other thing that I suspect is going to be your issue, and depends on how much ground you got, you're going to use chicken tractors. You're going to do what you see Richard Perkins and all of these other homesteaders do. You're going to have 50 chickens in a chicken tractor, and every day you're going to move that chicken tractor forward the distance that the chicken tractor, it'll have two wheels on one end, and you move it real slowly, and you'll move it until you get to where the green grass is again, because they won't beat everything. And in a certain length of time, you get to come back around. And as the chickens poop, it builds up the soil. The grass regrows bigger and better, and you just keep going in circles with your chicken tractors. That's the way you do it. He also has hen houses, which are the same thing but for the laying chickens, and they have a way of doing that as well. You look at Richard Perkins' work with chickens. It is a sustainable, permaculture. A sustainable permaculture he's got going on. Well, it does require a certain amount of ground to do this. And it depends on how many chickens you got. Might be able to use your backyard. You know, if you've only got 6 or 8 chickens, you could use your backyard. It's not going to look good. You're not going to win Better Housekeeping's House of the Month, because you're going to have big squares of gone grass. But it does give you sustainable protein in a grid down. But
yeah.
You know, if I were you, I'd try a combination of the two. For sure, I would store grain with diatomaceous earth in 55s and diatomaceous earth, and maybe even, you know, hand warmers down in there. We're getting to the time of the year when they're about to bring all the hand warmers back again. I bought about all they had last year. I haven't used them up yet. I'm still working. But I hope, did I answer both halves to that question? And if I did, what do you think? Would you like to give your opinion on this?
Absolutely.
If you have one, I would like to hear it. Yeah.
All right. But everything you've mentioned is good, especially that chicken cage that you can move around.
The tractor, yeah.
That's really good. And by the way, folks, you get it built right, one person can move it. It's not that bad. I've moved them before. I've never owned one, but I've moved them for other people just to see how it worked. But anyway, you can also do things like plant corn, plant millet. Not only will it bring in the game, which gives you more food, but it will provide a supply of feed for your chickens over the winter. The other thing you can do is free ranging, but you have to be careful with doing that. Once the predators figure out there's food running around out there, they will pick them off on a daily basis, particularly foxes and hawks. So you've actually got to physically sit there and watch them while they're moving around. The chickens we've had, I don't think they've ever gone 200 feet from the house. Ducks about 300 feet. So they can be watched. But it's time consuming. If you got a large family, you assign one person to watch them each day. Those are my suggestions. Lori?
Well, you know, a lot of our show has to do with gardening, even though there's other methods for survival. But since we've talked about gardening a lot, our listeners should be able to at least grow, like, grass seeds and flats and stuff like that, sprouts, stuff that can be thrown out to your chickens that you can grow, whether it's inside the house or outside. Yeah, during the months that you don't have it, or if you don't have any feed at all because you ran out, this is options for your chickens. So, I mean, you just have to think about what they like to eat. Like Tim said, you can grow some corn, put some corn ears aside, ground it all up for them to eat. Like Rick and I've suggested, growing stuff inside so that in the flat, so that once it's tall enough, you can throw it out there to them. And it's something that will continue to grow. So it's just, like you said, whatever you decide your chickens like to eat. You know, and remember, chickens, you know, free-ranging them is right. A good idea, too. Because they'll eat the bugs, they eat, you know, everything else. But they do need the greens. I mean, even in our area, and I know even in Rick's area, there's... when there's no chickens in it, especially for ours, at least the weeds and the grass start to grow back inside the outside area of their home. But once you put more chickens in it, they get to where they're scratching the ground to get the worms and the bugs and everything else, and it kind of dies back. So that's why I said, just grow some grass and seedlings and stuff like that for them, and this should be fine. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have a break. Calling number is 1-800-313-9443. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
I'm up on the tightrope. One side's hate and one is hope. But the top hat on my head is all you see. And the wire seems to be the only place for me. A comedy of errors and flaws.
living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
This mountain, you know where I wanna go. Straight down the Mississippi River to the Gulf of Mexico. The Lake Charles, Louisiana, little Bessie girl I once knew. And she told me just to come on by if there's anything that she could do. Up on Cripple Creek, she sends me if I spring.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, gentlemen, I hope that we answered the gentleman's answer about the chickens. Where would you like to go from here?
Yes. Well, we got a caller
on line 9. Okay. We've got Francis in North Carolina. Good morning, Francis.
Hello, folks.
Good morning, Hello. Francis.
How are you doing today?
I'm trying to stay chilled and out of the humidity.
Oh, yeah.
I hear you.
Well, besides taking care of chickens and rabbits and guineas, oh my, go figure that one out. Never mind. But anyway, bad joke there. I have a technical question. I'm not sure which of you folks can address this, about the pros and cons. I know that basically that whenever you have rabbits, that their remains that they produce, unless they're angora, they have fiber, wool, whatever you want to call it, but they tend to be very good for having that for the garden and so forth for fertilizing. Now, here's the technical part. There was someone that I got this info from, couldn't tell you the legitimacy of it or anything, and thus I'm looking forward to your insight of taking that same debris or poop, whatever you want to call it, how technical can we get, and giving it to your chickens to pick through and whatever have you, because supposedly there are microbes or bugs or who knows what that's supposed to reside inside the bunny poop. So, which I find a little, I'm a little bit hard-pressed to think that there's actually, you know, critters of any sort, you know, wrapped up in that. So, is this a pro and con situation, or is there some legitimacy, or is this a complete fabrication and to be disregarded and just simply say, okay, you're good for the garden, that's it?
Well, I'll tell you,
this isn't my
rabbit manure is good for the garden, and it's good
right.
for chickens. We've actually taken buckets of rabbit manure and threw it into the chickens in the pen. And they love it, and there's never been any ill effects. The good part about rabbit poop in a garden is it's not too hot. It won't hurt anything. And
that's
it does
true.
Provide lots of nutrients to the garden. And we've done that for years, ma'am, with no ill effects.
Fascinating. So what do chickens get out of it?
I don't know. I assume the same thing that they get from eating green stuff like grass and weeds. That's an assumption. I don't know that, but there seems to be something in it they crave. Because if you put both feed and rabbit manure in the cage at the same time, I won't say they'll go for the rabbit manure first, but they eat them both at the same rate.
And maybe
you know,
it might
put a buck each in a pen.
Right. Then it might be microbes or something that naturally inherently in the manure, for that matter, that comes from the hair, the rabbit themselves, that is a byproduct or whatever.
I don't know, but I do know that it does not hurt the chickens in any way.
That is fascinating. Okay, well, I appreciate your insight and input about that because I'd heard of it, but I was kind of leery. I thought, well, that doesn't make sense, you know, because for one thing, I was a little leery of giving that to them because I know they like to scratch for, as was mentioned, in the grass for critters and who knows what. They catch their attention, and believe me, they go bananas over crickets. Oh my gosh, it's like a party for that.
Aspect of this, you will have, I'm pretty sure that you will have a substantial protein shortfall if that's all they're getting. They're going to need something besides the rabbit poop.
Right.
I would think that would be vegetable, but I'm sure you'll have to supplement with something.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I forgot about that because most of what a rabbit eats is vegetable in nature to start with, so whatever they do not end up using, just the body kicks out anyway, naturally.
Right. Now, there's a couple things I'd like to tell you about, Francis, that we've learned from experience. Okay, we used half barrels, you know, half 55-gallon barrels, you know, when we scrape it up from underneath the cages, and then we would the barrels where the garden is.
Honey, hold
now.
On. Francis, if you hold on to the break, we'll get...
Sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a break. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
I felt the joy and I learned about the pain that my mama said. If I should choose to make a part of me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
So I'd rather go and journey where the diamond crescent's glowing and run across the valley beneath the sacred mountain and wander through the forest. Where the trees have leaves of prisms and break the light in colors that no one knows the names of.
And welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. We are speaking with Francis in North Carolina. Okay, go ahead, guys.
All right. What I was going to say, Francis, was what we would do is take this half barrel full of rabbit manure over to the garden. And we earned this by accident. Take and fill it up with water and let it sit about a week. Then take a coffee can or a small bucket and grab the stuff out of it and spread it around the garden. For some reason, that seemed to get more nutrients into the ground. Why, I don't know. But we earned this by accident when the barrel got filled up by heavy rain one day. And believe me, it got heavy. But anyway, I decided, why not? And tried it, and it worked, and it worked better than usual. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. On the chickens, just so you know, chickens will eat pretty much anything. Back when we had a push mower with a bag on it, I would actually take a couple bags of grass clippings and throw it in with the chickens, and they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I would... Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say was, as far as the water goes and so forth, when you have a major downpour like that, Basically, what nature ends up creating is a natural tea, although you wouldn't drink it, in order to pour that into the garden bed itself, because, quite frankly, it's making it water-soluble and spreading a lot more quickly into it. So that doesn't surprise me at all. I know at one point I saw where somebody had that happen, and I was like, oh, no, your manure is wet or whatever. It's going to be ruined. And kind of find out, nope. So
yeah.
It's interesting what Mother Nature teaches one in the process of dealing with stewardship of the soil and gardening and their livestock and so forth. So I have to applaud folks when they come across these things by accident. Call it instinct. Call it innate nature. I don't know. There's so many different terminologies that can be applied or used or whatever. It's unbelievable. So hats off to you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Anything
else? Have a great
weekend.
Stay chilled. And just so you know, I'll still stay with my lime and coconut with my Corona. Thank you.
I hear you.
Take care.
Three more. Okay.
Hello.
Well, yeah. We got another caller, guys.
Okay.
Or did you guys? I tell you what, Rick and Lori, I kind of took over that call, and I apologize. Follow up comments, please.
No, I don't have any of those.
Okay, Lori.
I'm with Rick. I'm good.
All right. Well, next we have Tom in Utah on line 11. Good morning, Tom. How are you doing today?
Okay. Kind of getting tired of being frustrated and depressed, but otherwise okay.
I know the feeling. Believe me. I learned I'm not allowed to drive the car by myself anymore last night, so I
understand
what you're saying.
Well, that's because you keep on... That's because Lori doesn't want you picking up all those good-looking women by yourself.
That's got to be it.
Uh-huh.
No, that's because Lori doesn't want him out there on the road and by himself, knowing he can't get out and do anything if something happens with the vehicle.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was a babe magnet, and that was the problem.
No. He's just got to understand his limitations these days, and he doesn't want to do that.
Anyway, by the way, I got to tell you already that my father used to run the largest poultry ranch in Davis County for a long time, and of course I worked with him, and that also gave me opportunity to do the health evaluations on the chickens. But I just want to remind people that the chickens are a real good reservoir for all the diseases in the area. In fact, when I was called down to help identify the hantavirus in the Four Corners with the natives, we used the chickens as the indicating animal as to what was in the environment. So again, I want to remind people, love your chickens. And sometimes it's not always good to eat them if there's a infection that's kind of endemic to your community. Because the birds are the primary vectors.
I got a question for you. I'm not trying to interrupt you, but I just want your opinion. Are free-range chickens healthier than cage chickens?
It's kind of a toss-up because the free-range chickens are going to find mice, they're going to find snakes or other animals that they may not find if they're in a caged or a corralled environment, like the tractor. You know what they're eating when they're in the tractor. By the way,
right.
The tractor is really an excellent, excellent tool, isn't it? The chicken tractor. Because you can manage their...
It's quite an invention. I've seen them made from PVC, 2-inch PVC, and they're light, just light as air, 2-inch PVC and chicken wire, and it's nothing to pull them around.
Yeah, and as long as you got a closed tractor, you don't have to worry about the hawks or the other predatory birds coming down and ravaging your chickens. But
that's
just going to remind
you. That's a big problem for us here is
Tom,
the hawks.
Tom, I did some research on dehydrators.
which is a fascinating subject that I had intended to bring up today. I found my dehydrator book. It's by a gal named Mary Bell. She has some YouTube videos out there, too. I think it's called Dehydrating with an Attitude. It was interesting. I learned several things, which I'll list as quickly as I can, and then you feel free to opine. Of course, as you mentioned last week, when you remove the moisture from food, you are removing the possibility of oxidation and the proliferation of bad bacteria. However, there's more to it. They did a study. How did this work? They tested the vitamin C in some oranges, put them in a truck, shipped them across the nation. It was 2 weeks before they got to the retail spot where they tested them again, and lo and behold, the vitamin C at that point was almost nil. So when food is dehydrated, it is dehydrated at around 115 to 118 degrees, which does not damage the beneficial portions of food. And so the vitamin C's and other nutrients stay viable and intact, and
right.
The shelf life can be months to years, depending on what you've done. Dehydrators, you might think, oh, well, you know, this is beyond me, beyond my budget. They do have some inexpensive ones on Amazon or Walmart for $35. You can go up to, they've got some fairly nice Excalibur units, which has been for years the go-to, and they can go from 130 to 250 for like the 9 and 10 tray. They've got a bigger one that's stainless steel with metal trays, which is like 300. But there's also a Samson out there, which runs at almost, the problem with the Excaliburs is they're pretty noisy. They sound like a clothes dryer, and there's a reason for that. But the Samson has come along, and they have metal, stainless, all stainless unit, glass doors, stainless steel racks, and all this, and runs silent. And it's about half the price of the X. I want to say it's about $200. So a Samson, you know, you get to do a lot of interesting things. Not only do you get to create storage food for yourself, but you can create healthy snacks for yourself. When the little kids, when my grandkids show up, they love to eat fruit roll-ups, which is nothing more than some mystery fruit that they smashed out flat and dehydrated. And the kids love it. And we, you know,
that's their candy.
Yeah, well, there's no added sugar, but yeah, it is. It's the natural sugars and the natural acetic acids are concentrated because it's dried, and they just love it. And, you know, we'd rather them have that than candy. I mean, and you can also do other things, you know, like beef jerky and other stuff. But as far as drying, sun-dried tomatoes, dried tomatoes, fabulous snack. They're like, they become like raisins. But that's about all I have managed to glean in a couple of days just playing around. What thoughts might you have? You talked about it right at the end of the show last week. I'm glad you called a little earlier. I wanted to bring up dehydrating today anyway, with respect, because it's a fascinating subject, and I think it's worth everybody's time. What do you think about it?
Well, that was the way they kept food in the past. They didn't have the mason jar. They didn't have the, you know, the pressure cooker or canning cooker. So the drying was the preferred, well, it was the way you could preserve food. I'm talking about fruits and vegetables. So you'd have them in February and March where you weren't going to have them otherwise. So, a real simple way to build a dryer is take two old screen doors, lay your fruit out on one screen door and set the other screen door on top of it, you know, to keep your flies and stuff away. and just set them out in the sunshine or out in an area where it's nice and warm. And it's plenty warm now to dry out everything without any mechanical heater and any mechanical fan. You just put these sandwich screen doors outside in the heat. Right now, you'll dry whatever's in them.
You know, that's the way my father... Screen doors are not small, so you probably have the square footage of any professional dryer right there.
Yeah, split your apricots in half and lay them out on there, and they'll become the wonderful candy and food for the wintertime. And that, like I say, in the old days, that's how people preserved their food that, you know, otherwise they couldn't keep, you know, through months. Drying and drying, like you were indicating, preserves the nutrients.
If you can a peach or a fruit,
you've automatically eliminated the vitamin C content to almost zero, but just by cooking it.
Right.
So drying is really the best way. That's why most of your, survivalists like Joel Skousen and others like that will sell you their dried food packages. But why not do it yourself? And see, you can take all the over, everything you produce over what you can eat immediately, you can dry it, and you can have that food as far into the winter as you want. So any excess, you know, that's what my dad would do. And what way I could do when I had my property, whatever my trees produced, I pulled it all off when it was ready. What I didn't eat or utilize immediately, then we'd put it on the screens and let it just dry. And my father would actually take bags of dried fruit out to the family members, you know, the kids and grandkids and uncles and aunts.
That's a fine gift.
They loved it when they saw my dad coming down the driveway because they knew he had a package of great food.
Well, that's one way to make yourself popular.
And you can survive a hard time.
I bring that up because as I was going to mention right before one of the callers called in, the New World Order is trotting out a couple of weird ideas. One is... The new normal, of course. The other thing is we've got this canned food, make what you will of this canned food shortage that we supposedly have because you evil, greedy people bought too many canned goods at the beginning of this pandemic, and you've wiped out the canned supply, and now, supposedly, people are having what's called bean buyer's remorse. And some idiot wrote a fake letter to the editor saying, I don't know why I bought these beans. I don't even like beans. I'll probably never use them. I have bean buyer's remorse. And they're trying to guilt you into not providing for yourself. And they want you standing there with your eyes closed in the middle of the street when they come along and decide to harvest you. So, obviously... Dehydrating is another great way to handle this problem in the middle of this contrived can shortage, and I'm bringing that up because I know they're going to ramp this up. The other thing I wanted, and the reason I wanted to bring this up today, really, is because over the next 2 months, we're nearing the end of most people's harvest season, and you can go to farmers markets or many other places where they have a glut of vegetables they would love to give you at ridiculously cheap prices. You go get those. If you don't have enough ground or you didn't get a garden going, go there, buy what they got, and dry it. I mean, if you've ever had dried green beans with kosher salt or sea salt, they sell them in the store for like $5 for a package that weighs nothing, and it weighs nothing because there's no water in it. Sea salt on dried green beans is fabulous. So, you know, use your imagination. Dry what's in season and hang on to it. Anyway, I am glad you brought that up last week. I found the subject fascinating, and I'm not even close to finished with this yet.
But if you had anything else, any other ideas, we're still listening.
Well, dried tomatoes are just to live for.
Sounds like we're
coming to a break.
They taste like raisins or something, yeah. Well, if you've ever had a sun-dried tomato, they're magnificent. Yeah, stay right with me.
Okay, Tom, thank you for your call, buddy. Glad you called in, ladies and gentlemen. No time for any more callers. We're going to wrap up the show in 3 minutes.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
I told you about living in the U.S. of A. Don't you know that I'm a gangster of love? Let me tell you people that I found a new way. And I'm tired of all this talk about love. And the same old story with a new set of words about the good and the bad and the poor. And the times keep on changing.
Welcome back to the Real Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, gentlemen. We've covered quite a few things today, but let's go ahead and get our closing statements and our prayer for the day. Rick, lead you to the honors, please.
Yeah, nice work today. Thank you. Nice work today, Ken. Lovely work. Carla, I'll call you here in a few minutes. We never really did get to gardening. I have some thoughts regarding my current activities that I would like to share because of the time of the year. We'll try to start up with that more toward the beginning of the show next week.
Hey, Rick, you and I can always do a podcast for YouTube also if you want to get into that heavier, unlimited time and no commercials.
Yeah, well, now let me think about that.
We can do it.
We could. So let's see if we can go begging to Jesus' father, Joseph the Worker. St. Joseph, model of all those who are devoted to labor, obtain for me the grace to work conscientiously, putting the call of duty above all my sins, to work with thankfulness and joy, considering it an honor to employ and develop by means of labor the gifts received from God, to work with order, peace, prudence, and patience, never surrendering to weariness or difficulties, to work above all with purity of intention, with detachment from self, having always death before my eyes and the account which I must render of time lost and talents wasted, of good omitted and vain complacency in success, so fatal to the work of God, all for Jesus, all for Mary, after your example, Patriarch Joseph. Such shall be my motto in life and in death. Amen.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, Lori.
Oh, like I said, great show. Ken, you did a great job today, as always.
Yes, he did.
Thank our sponsor, Extend-A-Life. Thank you to RBN for having us on the air. And for all of our callers and listeners, we appreciate it, your input and your listening to our program. Just keep our men and women and our armed forces in your prayers with their families, along with the president and his staff. And hopefully, you know, I'd like to believe that things will get better, but things probably will get worse before that happens. So just keep that in mind. Keep God in your heart and in your prayers, and with his help, everything will turn out all right. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Lori. Well, folks, what interesting times we live in. Pay attention. Situation awareness is paramount. Just keep that in mind. We'll be back same time, same channel next week, folks. May God bless our great United States of America. Please pray for our president and his advisors. And most of all, we'll keep praying for you and yours. Goodbye, folks.
Love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember,